Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's Midday Magazine for Tuesday, the 24th of November, 2020. I'm Joe Vicnicki with the local news. A judge has ruled that federal managers were within their rights to allow a Southeast Alaska tribe to organize a hunt out of season because of the COVID-19 pandemic. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, state attorneys have sued to block future hunts, arguing that Cake's special moose and deer harvest this past summer was federal overreach.
During the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, a federally recognized tribe on Kuprinoff Island was alarmed by the high price and low supply of fresh meat. The organized village of Cake petitioned the Federal Subsistence Board for a hunting party to harvest 5 deer and 2 moose out of season and distribute the meat within the community. It was greenlit in June. The state of Alaska filed suit alleging the feds had illegally preempted the state's rights to manage wildlife. Assistant Attorney General Cheryl Brooking says there are only narrow reasons for federal jurisdiction to trump state management.
When Alaska became a state, one of the main drivers of statehood was to get control over fish and game management because the feds were making a mess of it.
She argued in court filings that the food security issue was never proven, and the federal government exceeded its authority in allowing the hunt.
So that's what the state's primary concern is.
District Court Judge Sharon L. Gleason denied a preliminary injunction that would have prevented special hunts in the future. In a 46-page order issued on Wednesday, she wrote that federal officials had taken both conservation and public safety concerns into account when it reached its decision. She also noted that when federal officials reached out to state wildlife managers, they didn't respond. It's not the end of the case. The lawsuit will continue to move forward, with both sides filing arguments before a final ruling. But the upshot is that federal officials aren't blocked from authorizing out-of-season hunts in special circumstances. Tribal leaders in Cake don't see that likely in the near future.
You know, we just got done with our moose season and our deer season, so I think we're good for now.
That's Cake's tribal president, Joel Jackson. He notes the village's groceries are mainly shipped on the occasional state ferry or barge.
You know, if anything happens to those cranes down there where they load all the stuff coming to Alaska, we'd be in a world of hurt.
He says Alaska natives never voluntarily ceded their hunting and fishing rights on their traditional homeland.
Of course, if we were in a real bad situation, I wouldn't hesitate to just say, you know, get a hunting party together, go out and get the, what we need, you know. So, but I want to stay within the law, and if we could do that, that'd be great.
The Native American Rights Fund has joined the lawsuit on behalf of Cake's tribe and the federal government. In a Friday statement, a staff attorney wrote, Alaska Native communities are facing hardships caused by COVID-19 and encourage the state to treat tribes as partners, not adversaries. It's unclear if any future special hunts are being considered. Federal wildlife officials declined to comment, citing the state's litigation. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
State of Alaska now has a scientist at work trying to tackle the big question: what's happening to Alaska salmon once they're out in the ocean environment? That task falls to Katie Howard, an Anchorage-based fisheries scientist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Division of Commercial Fisheries. She's been working for Fish and Game since 2009, but started in her new role in May to address salmon in the marine environment.
Essentially, what we're trying to do is build some capacity to look at salmon in the marine environment, to understand what's going on with salmon and how it affects our fisheries in Alaska.
There are many unknowns about the time salmon spend in the ocean, including migration patterns of many populations, and Howard will be trying to tackle some of those questions around rates of marine survival.
We are looking at things, everything from, you know, these big questions around climate change and carrying capacity and competition to how, you know, there may be interactions between marine fisheries and Alaskan salmon stocks, and then also using marine research to develop some forecasting tools to help with fisheries management.
Howard's focus is statewide, from the Arctic to the North Pacific. The state agency is partnering on existing juvenile fish research with NOAA fisheries in two parts of the state. One project focuses on pink salmon here in southeast, and the other on Chinook in the northern Bering Sea. Howard says the hope is to expand those types of studies to other species in other parts of the state or find out more from the data already collected. Howard notes it's going to take time to learn impacts of the ocean climate on salmon. She acknowledges it's a very complex topic to study, with some stocks doing well, others at historic lows, and some stocks showing up in new places.
We haven't seen, for example, in the Gulf, these marine heat waves, the blob that people have probably heard about before, to this extent. And so we don't really know how that's going to affect salmon stocks and their fisheries and the fisheries that depend on them. I think it just kind of highlights how important it is that we try to get some information to help people make better decisions.
Other scientists also have been tagging one salmon predator, salmon sharks, to learn about their migrations, and that could give information about where salmon spend their ocean time. Fish and Game has started up a Facebook page with information on the latest research on both salmon and sharks. You can find a link along with this story on our website, kfsk.org. Petersburg's Aquatic Center reopened yesterday following a 5-week closure after an electrical fire. While the borough is still waiting on permanent fixes, such as a new fire alarm panel, there is enough power going to the pool for it to be reopened on a near-normal schedule. Stephanie Payne is the facility supervisor for the borough's Parks and Recreation Department and spoke with Angela Denning about the latest turn of events. She says while it's been a rough year overall, they've had some unexpected luck getting some temporary fixes in place.
So, in the beginning, when the contractors first came down, with all the uncertainty, it really wasn't in the cards to be able to heat the pool. We were going to be able to get power to turn on the lights and to plug in heaters and at least get air moving through the facility to take care of the condensation issues, but really was not anticipated to be able to heat the pool. When the contractors came, though, however, and upon really digging into the system, and they were everywhere in the system, they were able to provide enough power to both boilers but not at full capacity, which was able to create enough heat to get out into the pool as well. So we really were very fortunate to be able to get to this point and have the pool heated as well. That was really not anticipated for these temporary fixes. So we got very lucky.
So this is a temporary fix.
Correct. It is still a temporary fix, and there is much, much more work to be done in the facility and in that boiler room to get us up to where we really should be. It is a very safe temporary fix, absolutely. They would never allow us to open back up if it was not deemed safe. So that's not in question. We just need to be careful in what we are using that power for.
Okay, and from what I understood, it seemed like there was some kind of temporary fire system that you're going to be using instead of the old one?
Correct. What that means right now is that when everything happened, it blew out the main fire alarm panel. If anything were to happen, the sprinkler systems would deploy and do their job. However, we don't have any alarm system that's going to tell us that it is happening. What I had to do was submit a plan to the state fire marshal with the help of Ryan Welding here in town, and that means that we need to conduct on the hour a facility fire watch. So my facility specialists are going through every room in the aquatic center, opening the doors, taking a look, smelling for smoke or anything that's hot, every room in that facility over in the aquatic side. Every storage room, every mechanical room, the locker rooms, absolutely everywhere, the janitor's closets. So it's pretty extensive, and we have to track it every step of the way. And then we have to submit those forms on a daily basis to the fire marshal. These can go up to 10 days, so and then they will need to be renewed. I will have to resubmit the plan and keep extensions rolling.
So temporarily then, instead of fire alarms, if there was an emergency, staff's checking every hour for any sign of that?
Correct.
And can you kind of walk me through generally what's open and not open in the center now?
Sure. Absolutely. So we do have a couple of changes, and unfortunately the biggest change right now is that we just do not have the power to support having the sauna open. And I know that's really heartbreaking for a lot of people. We had such high demand for it, but it's just something I am unable to pull off at this time. I really hate not opening for absolutely everybody, but unfortunately that's the way it's going to roll this time. We're looking at when our complete fix will happen, and then we can get that rolling again. So we're still on hold for that. But the only other thing that we have changed is that on Saturday from 12 noon until 2 o'clock, that time was reserved for the school for any of their possible swim meets. However, that season has ended a little bit early, unfortunately, due to this closure. That time frame is now open for the public. And so what I am doing is adding into that 12 to 2 time frame every Saturday is another lap swim and therapeutic pool use for anybody that needs it during that time. It's, you know, it's kind of tough to get up so early in the morning and get in there during an early morning swim. So we wanted to be able to open that up again and give that a second time throughout the day. We do still have our split swims happening.
This is for open swim for kids?
Correct. Yes, our open swims on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday nights are still going to be a split swim. And it's going to be conducted about just as it was right before we closed.
And that split swim is because it's so popular that you had a bunch of kids in there and you kind of wanted to spread them out?
Correct. And that is still going to be a maximum of 40 patrons. With the way things are going with COVID, I really want to just keep it at 40 for right now and until things can kind of settle back down, and then we will consider upping it again.
Well, Stephanie, you're the facility supervisor. How are you feeling at this point where things are?
That's always a good question. I feel very positive. We are so, so fortunate for all of the work that everybody did to be able to pull this off and be able to get swimmers back into the pool, BSC back into the pool, our adaptive swimmers back in, and just the general public, our master swim. And it's already been, there was a great turnout this morning already. So I am so, so thankful for the patience of the community and the contractors that in our own borough personnel that have just jumped right in to make this all happen. It was a great effort from everybody.
Stephanie Payne, facility supervisor for the borough's Parks and Rec Department. She says during the closure, lifeguards had the opportunity to do dry land skills check, focusing on CPR, first aid, and AED. Besides the pool side of the building, the community center is planning a Christmas program for next month and restarting volleyball in January. Community center will be closed Thursday for the Thanksgiving holiday, and it will be open for normal hours on Friday. To see a full schedule for the center, you can go to our website, kfsk.org. It's posted there along with this story. KFSK has an open airwaves policy. We encourage the public to express personal opinions, ideas, and creative works, which will be available on our website, kfsk.org, following their scheduled radio broadcast. Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. Following commentary submitted for broadcast by John Haverlick.
Hello, my name is John Haverlick. I just wanted to do this commentary, one, because it's that time of the year that we should be thankful for things, and I am very thankful to Carl and Phil and Jennifer and Liz at the hospital and all the doctors at the hospital that spoke up for using face coverings or masking, whichever way you want to call it. They've been really excellent in trying to keep our community safe, as well as the members of the City Assembly, Jay and Jeff, Chelsea and Dave, mandating face coverings. It's really essential to keeping our town safe. And even like to thank people at KFSK for their weekly show and for keeping us current on the different COVID cases that have come along on a very timely basis. And also like to thank the people of Alaska Airlines for making all the passengers mask up. in my one of the reasons for this is because my daughter's my youngest daughter's birthday was last month, and because I felt so safe and that the town was safe and we had no current cases, I went to visit her for her 42nd birthday, and unfortunately it'll probably be her last because she has stage four cancer. And but because of the people of Petersburg being so supportive, and there were no active cases, and even the state wasn't horrible at that time, not anywhere near as bad as it is now with COVID, I did feel safe enough to go visit her. And I did get to spend a couple hours every day for 3 days with her. And, you know, naturally we had to socially distant and mask up, but at least I got to see her. And I really am thankful for to the people of Petersburg and, again, all the people that were in favor of masking up. And I know some people say you should be afraid of masks, but I can't see any reason from it. And it's just something that's helpful to all of us. And if more of us were doing it, this pandemic wouldn't be anywhere near as bad as it is now. And hopefully we will start masking up defeating this scourge on our nation. Thank you very much.
This commentary you've just heard submitted for broadcast by John Haberlick. KFSK encourages the public expression of personal opinions, ideas, and creative works. Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. For information, please call General Manager Tom Abbott at 772-3808. For KFSK News, I'm Joe Vignicki. Coming up on KFSK, we have Street Beat Music with Steve Berry, your host this afternoon. At 2:30, it's The High Country with Melina Marvin. At 4 o'clock, rather, All Things Considered, local news and updated weather at 4:30. Alaska News Nightly is on at 6, followed by Ebb Tide Music, 6:30. Julie Spiegelmeyer, your host for that show. 9 o'clock, Thistle and Shamrock, and 10 o'clock, The World Cafe, followed at midnight by the BBC World Service, broadcast live from London. Weather and messages are up next.
Comes from The Wash Tub at Waterways Veterinary Clinic, offering grooming, bathing, undercoat removal, and DIY options by appointment only. That's The Wash Tub at Waterways Veterinary Clinic, 772-3191.
41 degrees outside at the moment. The rest of today, the forecast calls for scattered rain showers, highs around 40, winds out of the northeast to 10 miles an hour. There's a chance of snow tonight, highs around 30, and southeast winds to 10 miles an hour. Rain and snow tomorrow night, and precipitation may be heavy at times tomorrow night, with lows around 30, southeast winds to 10 miles an hour. For Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, widespread rain and snow showers, highs around 40 with light winds. Thursday night, scattered rain and snow showers, lows around 30. Cloudy Friday into Friday night, lows around 40, and lows around 30. Rain likely Saturday with highs around 40, and a mixture of rain and snow Saturday night right through Monday with highs around 40, lows in the 30s. Marine forecast, a gale force low will track southeast across the southern outside waters by today. The next weather front moves across the Gulf and into southeast Alaska by tomorrow. Inside waters, Stevens Passage, southeast 25 knot winds today, becoming northeast, gusting to 40 and seas at 5 feet. Tonight, north winds 20 knots and 4 foot seas. By tomorrow, southeast 15 knot winds, gusting to 40 in the afternoon, seas 4 feet. And tomorrow night, winds out of the south, 25 knots, gusting to 40, seas at 5 feet. Southern Chatham Strait Small Craft Advisory. Southeast winds 25 knots today, becoming northerly and gusting to 40, and seas 5 feet, except 22 feet near ocean entrances. By tonight, north winds 10 knots, 3 foot seas, then down to 2 feet or less. Near ocean entrances, seas 18 feet, subsiding to 14 feet later. For tomorrow, south winds 15 knots, seas building to 3 feet by the afternoon. Near ocean entrances, seas 9 feet. By tomorrow night, south winds 25 knots, gusting to 40, seas 5 feet, except 13 feet near ocean entrances. Frederick Sound Small Craft Advisory today, southeast 25 knot winds, becoming northerly in the afternoon, gusting to 40, seas at 5 feet. Tonight, north winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet, then down to 2 feet or less. By tomorrow, winds out of the northeast 10 knots, becoming southeast 20 knots in the afternoon, seas building to 4 feet. And by tomorrow night, southwest 25 knot winds and gusting to 45 out of interior passes, seas at 5 feet. Sumner Strait Small Craft Advisory today, east winds 25 knots, becoming north 15 by the afternoon, seas 5 feet, except 13 feet near ocean entrances. By tonight, northwest 10 knot winds, seas 2 feet or less, except 9 feet near ocean entrances. Tomorrow, winds out of the east 15 knots, seas building to 3 feet in the afternoon, near ocean entrances, seas 5 feet. And by tomorrow night, winds out of the east 20 knots, gusting to 35, seas 4 feet, except 9 feet near ocean entrances. Clarence Strait, gale warning today, south winds 25 knots, becoming southeast 35 knots, then east 25 in the afternoon, seas 5 feet, building to 8 feet, except near ocean entrances, seas 12 feet. By tonight, northwest 15 knot winds and seas 5 feet, except 10 feet near ocean entrances. Tomorrow, winds out of the northeast 10 knots, becoming southerly in the afternoon, seas 3 feet, except 6 feet near ocean entrances. And by tomorrow night, south gales to 35 knots, seas 7 feet, except 10 feet near ocean entrances.
Are you a tribal member over 65 and taking prescription medications? Search has a new program to purchase your Medicare Part D prescription drug coverage. Having Part D allows you to access medications not on the search formulary and gives you peace of mind knowing you can fill your prescriptions no matter where you go. Open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th, and plans start on January 1st. Give Surge Patient Health Benefits a call to do your quick prescription drug evaluation and get signed up. Call 966-8662 today. Surge, healthy is here.
Happy birthday today on the 24th of November to Sam Collum, Kirsten Dupree, Sandra Eggers, Gloria Omer, and Karen Olson, also Andy Grenier and Mary Ellen Anderson. Happy birthday, and happy wedding anniversary to Al and Shannon Peeler. As you just heard, swimming pool reopened this week, picking right up where they left off at the closure. You can see the schedule on the Parks and Rec website or give a call at 772-3392. The sauna remains closed at this time. Heavy wind and rain in the forecast. Make sure to get down to the harbors and check out your boats and bail your skiffs. Also, a reminder to wear bright clothing if you're out walking or running so cars can see you during these dark days and nights. Thanksgiving holiday this week. There's no garbage or recycling pickup on Thursday the 26th. Instead, Thursday's garbage and recycling will be picked up tomorrow on the 25th, and commercial dumpsters will be emptied that day. Baylor facility will be closed Thursday and will reopen Friday the 27th. Call Public Works 772-4430 for more information. The airport testing tent will be closed Thursday the 26th in observance of the holiday. The municipal building also closed Thursday and Friday for the holiday will reopen on Monday the 30th. KFSK staff taking off Friday the 27th for the holiday. There will be no COVID panel show that day. The next one planned for Friday, December 4th. Community tree lighting ceremony happens in Petersburg on Friday in front of the municipal building. Because of the pandemic, there will be two lighting events, one at 5:30 and one at 6:30 p.m. People are required to mask and social distance in family pods. There is no parade this year. Food vendors will be present with to-go orders. Search's free asymptomatic COVID testing will end Saturday, December 19th. That's the last day to get a test. Testing for people with symptoms and those returning from travel available through PMC by calling the COVID hotline 772-5788.